This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, November 25th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. A lot has been said about the prospects for the metaverse. Will it be a game-changing new online realm where our work and social lives migrate, creating new opportunities for online commerce? Or is it just a lot of hype about a yet-to-be-completed digital world that will only interest a small number of people? At this year's WSJ Tech Live conference, I put the topic of the metaverse up for debate between a true believer and founder of a metaverse company and an outspoken skeptic. We'll bring you highlights from the debate after these headlines. Workers at the world's biggest iPhone assembly plant clashed with police this week after protests erupted over pay and strict COVID-19 lockdowns. Video caught the sounds of workers breaking down barriers on Tuesday at the Foxconn factory, where more than 200,000 people have been under strict quarantine controls for weeks. One video shot near the factory buildings shows more than a dozen police officers and men in white protective suits surrounding and repeatedly punching a man and beating him with batons. Foxconn confirmed the violence was related to concerns some new workers had over their pay. On Thursday, the company blamed a computing error for giving new recruits the wrong contracts. The company added it would honor its contractual obligations and pay would be in line with official recruitment posters. Apple on Thursday said it had staff at the site and is working closely with Foxconn to ensure their employees' concerns are addressed. The iPhone maker has been criticized by labor groups for not doing enough to protect workers at the facility. It's Black Friday, and Cyber Monday is just around the corner. That means a lot of people will be doing online shopping. And while many of them will order from Amazon, a recent survey finds consumers' enthusiasm for the e-commerce giant has slipped. A survey by investment firm Evercore ISI found the number of Amazon customers who say they were extremely or very satisfied with the company was 79% in 2022. That's up from a low of 65% it reached in 2020 during the pandemic, but down from a peak of 88% almost a decade ago. Amazon famously obsesses over customer service. So how did the company lose its shine in the eyes of shoppers? Our Amazon reporter Sebastian Herrera explains.
Amazon puts such importance into automating its services, and that sort of caused some issues in terms of customer service issues, and also it sought to, for example, make advertisements more prominent on its website. That can have some consequences with customers navigating the site. And when you have a place that is adding just thousands and thousands of sellers every day, has millions of product listings, is just constantly growing, and has become just constantly more of an online bazaar, it's sort of natural for the consequence to be that it's like the opposite of a curated experience.
And the global video game industry is bracing for a drop in annual sales for the first time in at least a decade following the pandemic boom. It comes amid high inflation and fears of a recession. Our reporter Sarah Needleman explains why video games, which have typically been recession-proof, are staying on store shelves.
In past recessions, unemployment has been high. So when people are out of jobs, they stay home and play video games rather than, say, go out for dinner and a movie. It's just a more cost-effective form of entertainment. What's different this time around is the job market is still relatively robust. We haven't seen a significant increase in unemployment yet. And also, the industry has changed a lot since then. We've now got smartphones and tablets. We have free-to-play games and massive multiplayer games. So it's just a different industry. That said, it's not like the video game industry is falling off a cliff, but it is coming off this massive high from the pandemic. And some of the data shows that we're still above pre-pandemic levels, but not by much.
All right, coming up, slicing through the hype around the metaverse. We'll debate its prospects and its pitfalls. That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The concept of the metaverse sprung into the mainstream last year. Some companies have started up or refocused their businesses to work on building hardware and software for what they see as the future of the online world. A digital realm where we can hang out, work, shop, maybe even enjoy all the things we normally do in the real world. But so far, the metaverse has struggled to live up to its mega hype. At this year's WSJ Tech Live event, I posed questions about the metaverse and its future to two people who've been outspoken about it. Herman Narula is the chief executive of Improbable Worlds, a provider of metaverse infrastructure and applications, and a big believer in the potential of the metaverse. He even wrote a book about it. Phil Libin is the co-founder and CEO of two startups, artificial intelligence company AllTurtles and video communications company Mhm. And he's much more doubtful about the cultural and financial possibilities of the metaverse. Here are highlights from our conversation.
Thank you guys both for joining me. Herman, I want to start with you, and I want to start with a bit of news that was reported in the journal. It was that Facebook's, or I should say Meta's, metaverse platform had about as many users as the population of Sioux Falls, and that is to say, not very many. So what is Meta doing wrong when it comes to the metaverse, and who is the metaverse for?
Well, that's a big question. I will say that the actual number is probably significantly lower. So just for the benefit of the audience, whenever you hear monthly active users, divide by 10 to get how many people are actually there on a given day, and divide by 10 again to get a sense of how many people are there in this moment. So if somebody says they have 200,000 monthly active users, well, you know, that's not a lot of people on an actual moment-to-moment basis. In terms of what is Facebook doing wrong, look, it's far from me to kind of criticize and preach about what a giant corporation like that should do. But what I would say is there are a lot of lessons we can already see from the computer games industry. There's a reason why Blizzard and other companies don't announce titles before they've found product market fit. And in the end, Horizon Worlds is essentially a video game. I mean, it's more like a game than it's like any idea of the metaverse that I would recognize. I think prematurely hailing an unfinished game as the future of a multi-billion user corporation is a really difficult thing to see working out successfully.
Isn't the metaverse, I mean, for gamers, they're the ones who kind of are naturally attracted to this idea of interacting online, of having, you know, a different character. Isn't that what this is?
Actually, I don't think it is. So Improbable works with about 60 different global publishers. We just worked on the new Modern Warfare, if you've seen that, and a lot of other games. This isn't really part of our metaverse business. We support these publishers develop lots of difficult multiplayer problems. And over the last year, as our metaverse business has kind of exploded, not a single one of our customers in that space has come from computer games. And the reason for that is video games already work well. The metaverse is the idea, at least in my view, that you can start connecting these experiences together. That's a lot less interesting to games companies than it is to, say, sports leagues or fashion brands.
Phil, I want to bring you into this. You're a metaverse skeptic. So how do you feel about the idea that the metaverse is for fashion brands or for events?
I'm not a metaverse skeptic. I think I'm more of a metaverse hater.
Okay, fair.
But in particular, look, it's kind of pointless ever, like, betting against the broad technology. Obviously, at some point, someone is going to make something that's going to succeed and, you know, can always be able to tie it back to the metaverse. And so long term, I'm always very bullish on just about every technology. I think the Facebook vision of the metaverse is, it's so stupid, it makes me sad. It accomplishes nothing. Like, if you're having a hard time really understanding, what are we talking about again? What is this thing again? That's okay for like an hour, it's okay for a day, but if you find yourself like, it's like a week in and you're still not sure and everyone is saying something and you're not sure what it is, like chances are you're not sure because it's dumb, it's really nothing. Sometimes the emperor really does have no clothes.
Okay, so apart from maybe agreeing on Meta's abilities, let's put them aside, how is the metaverse going to exist? And I had a colleague frame it as, is it indoors or outdoors? So is it AR or VR?
I think these are the wrong questions, and they're questions that are prompted by what you referred to as the incredible stupidity around, you know, the discourse Facebook has co-opted around the metaverse. Let's start in a simpler place. Let's not even use the word metaverse. What kind of experiences do people desire? Well, the research tells us that they desire fulfilling experiences. I rant about this in my book. They want experiences that give them feelings of competence or autonomy or relatedness. They want to feel as though they can make meaningful choices, have meaningful relationships with people. If we're going to build a new product, without using the M word, whatever that new product is, if it involves having experiences online, it better provide people more fulfillment than they can otherwise receive through alternatives, including the real world and including video games. So now we can narrow our scope of discussion quite a lot. What sort of experiences are not possible today that we should make possible, and how might they relate to each other? I'll give you an example. If you're a Manchester United fan in Southeast Asia, you've probably never been to a game, you've never heard the roar of the crowd, you've never experienced what it's like to be surrounded by thousands of other fans or meet your favorite players. If we could make that experience happen, then that would be desirable, that would be valuable. That's not something you can have today.
Phil, do you buy that? Do you think people are going to want to have the same experiences that they might be able to in person in a metaverse?
Well, I think, so I just read Herman's book. It's a very nice vision of where the world can go, which I buy completely. I think we have some disagreement on a few things, particularly timelines. I think like what you're talking about is not within the investable horizon of anyone in this room. I think we're decades and decades and decades out for some of that stuff. Basically, you can have the experience that you described of going to a football match. You can do it by going to a football match. And I think it's better for us to, for the collective us, to build a world where more people can have those experiences by going physically to the places that they want, by experiencing the things that they want to experience, maybe not to a particular team, maybe to their local team, maybe they can live in places that have more outdoor space, that have more access to recreation, maybe they can have jobs that don't force them to waste all their time commuting or sitting in traffic, and they've got time for their life. And I think like now more than at any other time in history, it's time to invest in the real world and really just not try to figure out what we can do with a piece of plastic duct taped to our face.
And what about the brands that are getting into this? I mean, we've got what, Nike, Coca-Cola, L'Oreal. Are these brands going to regret their metaverse investments?
Yeah, they're gonna regret them. Nike in particular, because people in the metaverse don't even have feet, so I don't know what they're doing. Look, I think VR is a dead end. I think there are certain experiences that make sense in VR. Those experiences are few. Those experiences are far between. Those experiences have been with us for 20 years. There hasn't been meaningfully new innovation in VR, and there won't be, because there's this fallacy that what people want is more immersion. Yeah. And actually, people don't want immersion most of the time. That's why most of us spend most of our time on the least immersive devices possible, our phones, instead of, you know, sitting on big in front of big TVs. That's why 3D movies, which have been around since the 60s, have not replaced, you know, normal movies.
But what about AR? I mean, it's not the only way to potentially engage in the metaverse.
Augmented reality, I think, is great. Well, it's not great yet. It barely exists right now, but it has very high potential. And when the headsets are there, when I can wear something that's not that much bigger than glasses, and I can actually see all of you really with my eyeballs, and on top of that have things augmented, superimposed, as a way to improving the current reality, not substituting it, then sure, there's all sorts of use cases.
I mean, Herman, I want to let you jump in here, because you must have some thoughts.
Yeah, I'd say the part we agree upon is that immersion is the wrong goal. Look at the most successful games of the last few years, Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft. They look less sophisticated than games that came before. Why is that? Why would that be? It's because it's not about immersion. The promise of a well-defined, well-functioning, and investable metaverse is not a VR headset. It's presence. It's the idea that you can interact with the world in more interesting ways, and that interaction results in fulfilling experiences. I think to dismiss the metaverse is the same as saying, like, sport, fashion, culture, all of that stuff. It's just a waste of time. Let's focus on the real world. What is the real world? We already live in a world of ideas. A mechanism to turn that world of ideas into something more accessible, more concrete, more useful is certainly a virtuous goal. I will say the thing we haven't talked about here, which is what we should be talking about, is digital assets. Because what's really changed, what really creates opportunity, is that. Now, you said that Nike, L'Oreal, and there was another company you mentioned.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola will regret their metaverse investments. I can't speak to Coca-Cola and L'Oreal, but Nike, with their purchase of Artifact, one of the most prominent digital asset brands, and with an incredible opportunity to create interactive experiences on top of what they already do, I think is really, really brave.
We'll have to leave it there. Herman, Phil, thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.